Introducing the Master of Science in Pharmacology program from the University of California, Irvine, UCI. The UCI two-year 100% online degree program is designed for working professionals who are interested in advancing their careers or enhancing their competitiveness for admission to other degree programs. A number of opportunities for master's level pharmacologists exist in the pharmaceutical industry, biotechnology companies, government agencies, research laboratories, and academic programs. Fall registration is now open. Apply today at sites.uci.edu/mspharmacology to learn more and reserve your seat by June 15th, 2020. That's sites.uci.edu/mspharmacology and reserve your seat today. The deadline is June 15th, 2020.
You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Hey, Pharmacy Podcast Nation, Pharmacy Podcast Network. This is Todd Urey, founder of the Pharmacy Podcast. Welcoming back two very special people in my life. First of all, the wiggly chair girl is back, Rachel Urey, my daughter, who's been on the Pharmacy Podcast twice.
Hi.
And also my favorite pharmacist, Ken Sternfeld, the concierge pharmacist. Rachel and Ken, welcome to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Thank you.
Howdy, Uncle Todd. How are you today? How's everybody?
Doing good.
Well, when I wiggle on my chair, Rachel, it's a little bit because I'm like kind of 300 pounds soaking wet, and it doesn't really wiggle as fast as I see it wiggling with you over in the studio. When I wiggle, it doesn't really wiggle. It kind of waggles because I'm a big guy. But you feel free to just kind of spin that chair around and do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Two or three podcasts so far together? How many have we done?
We've done two. This is my third.
Well, the two that I did with you we just had a blast and I loved them. So
yeah.
I'm a big, big believer that the youth of America, the next generation, are the people who are going to make all the differences in the world. So there's a lot going on in the world, Rachel, and I want to hear from your perspectives, and I know the listeners do, this COVID-19 problem, this issue, this crisis that we're going through, how is it? What do you know about it? What do you hear about it? Who's giving you that information? And what do you know? Tell us what you know on COVID-19, okay?
Okay, so let's start with where I think it started. We all know it started in China, right? And a lot of people have theorized what they think. And honestly, I think it was a sick bat. I don't know. That's just my theory. I have no evidence. I'm not sure anyone does. But anyway, it's keeping us all at home. We can't see our friends or family that doesn't live with us. And that's really sad. I actually go to school on my school computer now. One Friday at school, teacher said that we were going to take our computers home every day just in case school was to close. And that same Friday, governor said that there would be no school in Pennsylvania. So I've been doing school on my computer. Sometimes it takes me until like 9 to finish. Other times it will take me until like, I don't know, 2 or something.
Are you able to get the kind of information? I mean, you know, you're very bright and I know you work with the computers and the iPads and stuff. Do you find that educating and learning from that technology? Do you find that you're getting more, less, the same? How is the courses going that way?
I want to say I'm getting less information because I kind of know that like each subject is going to be like shorter. Because normally at school, each subject takes from like a half hour to 45 minutes. And now subjects only take like no more than 15 minutes. So I'm zooming through everything when normally it'd take me 7 hours on a regular school day, like without.
So by saying zooming in, we should be calling Zoom for a sponsor to get them to sponsor this podcast with you because you are on Zoom right now and you just said Zoom. So maybe you did a little mid-roll, a little advertisement for Zoom. So they should be sending us a check real soon. congratulations for that. So let me ask you a question, because last week, while there were a lot of religious holidays, I'm Jewish, and we celebrated Passover, and it was Easter, and there was holidays after that. Were you able to celebrate any family functions with being the fact that you had to be socially distant in a way? Any changes in your family, you know, celebrations?
Okay, so I'll talk about the things that were the same first. I was waking up on, like, Easter morning. I barely even remembered it was Easter morning when I actually got up, because I was like, as always, I'm always still tired when I get up. So I was in bed for like another half hour when I woke up. And then, you know, I got out of bed, I opened my Easter basket, and those were the things that were the same. Now, the things that were different, normally for Easter, I'd go to my grandma's house and celebrate there. But because of this whole COVID-19, you know, I can't go. So normally I'd have like a sort of egg hunt at our at her house, but we couldn't. So my parents ordered, so my mom ordered some like eggs, and she hid them all around like the yard and stuff. And disappointment, all the same candy was inside, and I haven't eaten any of it. I should really try to see if I actually like that candy.
I'm a Cadbury egg guy. I don't know whether I don't know. I'm Jewish, but a Cadbury egg, I don't care. I'll eat them until the cows come home. You ever have a Cadbury egg?
I'm not sure, but from what you're saying, I think I should probably try one sometime.
You should, definitely. Definitely. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt the Easter egg. Go ahead.
And then something else. Like I said, I would go to my grandma's house on Easter. And sometimes we would normally have dinner there, and, you know, we'd have dinner. But this time we took a table out to like a shed we have in our backyard, and we put like a tablecloth on the thing, and then we had like a dinner out. It's kind of like, it almost looks like a Thanksgiving dinner. But it was an Easter dinner. It was like Easter Thanksgiving crossover. And we took the Alexa out into the shed, and we plugged it in, and we video called my grandma, my grandpa, and we acted like it was a normal day.
Well, you are clearly coming from the Yuri DNA, because it's always about technology and how that advances people's ability to communicate. Because Dad talks about advanced AE and IA and technologies. So here you are talking about technology of Alexa. So you invited Alexa to your Easter Thanksgiving dinner, and she basically connected you to another family member. That's really important, connecting. I think when we're isolated, which we are, the fact that we're doing, like what I'm doing with you right now and connecting with you, and I think that's healthy. I think that's becoming and should be the new normal. People should connect more. How do you feel about that? You think we connect enough with our friends and family, or do you think we could do more?
So in general, I think people do, well, some people do connect, some people don't. And during this coronavirus, we are trying to connect together with as much as we can, because we know we're stuck at home and we're all bored when we're not working. So we call anyone else we know to like pass the time, and so we're connecting more.
One of the things I've done, and you may want to try this, is there are people who I have in my iPhone and numbers. So, you know, I knew people, and maybe I'm not in touch with them right now. And maybe that we've gone in different circles, or not working together, or not doing things together. But I made it a point over the last week and a half to call everybody on my phone book. All right. People who I probably in some cases hadn't spoken to in several years. And you know what it did? It opened up to this morning, right before I got online with you. We got on a Zoom connection with one of the people who was one of the best men at my, you know, one of the groomsmen at my wedding almost 42 years ago. His name is Jerry, And he's a friend who I haven't seen or spoken to in probably 12 or 15 years. Okay, they're lived. I mean, you know, my wife keeps in touch with her wife, but I hadn't spoken or seen Jerry for about 12 years. And when we were at some mutual wedding of someone we both knew. So how was that to think about calling some of your old friends or maybe some relatives who you only don't see them just to say, hi, how you doing? You want to do something like that next week?
Probably.
Okay. I think they'd love to hear from you. You know, you can call me. You can call me any day. If you say you get through your school early at 2 o'clock, and if you're bored, you can always call me. Tell Dad to give you my number, and I will make sure that any time you call, I'll be available to talk. You may want to just talk about anything. You may want to talk about what the dog did, or you may want to talk about the schoolwork. We just want to talk about just general stuff. We don't have to do it on a podcast, but we can always do it. We can always stay connected, all right?
All right.
I try and do this with my daughters, and I'm sad because I don't get to see my daughters. I mean, Dad is in the house with you, and he gets to see you, and that's nice. But for me, my daughters, both of them live away, so I haven't seen them. And I had to do a drive-by to see my daughter last week. And we can't be together because it's not safe. Who knows? So I had to go. We were going to drop off a pizza for them because we had pizza delivered and I got an extra pie to deliver it. So I drove over there. I put it on the back seat. My wife was with me so that we wouldn't have to touch anything. And my daughter came out, and they live about 20 minutes away in Belmont. And she went to the back seat and she opened up the door and she took her pizza and I just kind of waved at her. And, you know, the window was open. I said, how are you doing? Good. Good to see you. And for like 2 minutes. And then we left. But my daughter texted me because my granddaughter, Leia, was looking out the window and she saw Grandpa Kenny's car. And she thought I was coming to see her. And that made me so sad because I love her so much. Well, my daughter had to lie to my granddaughter. She had to say, no, that's not Grandpa Kenny's car. That's the pizza delivery guy. So, Rachel, I've become Grandpa Pizza Delivery Uber driver, and it's because of COVID, and I'm really upset because I think I can be more than an Uber driver. So, and you're very fortunate to have your dad right there and to enjoy the time with him. So I'm sure he appreciates it too.
Okay. So I have some
numbers. Got some numbers.
Some numbers on COVID-19 I wanted to share. Okay.
Share it with us.
Okay. So I have information on the United States, not in the whole world, just the United States for now. So deaths of COVID-19, 37,268. Altogether, coronavirus cases, 712,401.
Wow.
And recovered more than deaths, actually, 63,768. So the amount of recovered is around twice the amount of the deaths, which is very, very good. And when you add the deaths and the recovered and you subtract that from the coronavirus cases, we still have a lot of people who have corona.
Yeah. But, you know, you said a number that actually gives hope, that more people are surviving than dying. Of course, the numbers that you talked about, they're very, very, very sad numbers because every life not only affects one life, but that person was a brother or a mother or a sister or a daughter. And every life lost is impacting so many. So this is something that is really very sad. But as we get further through this process and more people are tested and more people are surviving, here in New York, it's a really bad situation, but it's getting better because there are less hospitalizations and there are more people getting discharged from the hospital. So that number that you just shared with us, and thank you for doing that, should give everybody hope that we're going and we have flattened the curve and we are going to be moving in a positive direction. But how do we stay positive, Rachel? What would be the things that you would do if you hear that things are moving in the right direction, what would you do differently and what would you do the same?
Okay, so on the how to stay positive note, you could like get outside, that will improve your mood and just act happy, I guess. And like if, yeah, you get
that's
up.
That's good. Acting happy is very, you know, because if you're happy and you're positive, that's going to make a lot of things go better for you in your life. That's a very positive attitude. I love the fact that you have that. But what else? Would you still stay home, and maintain the fact? Would you run, you know, you're not going to go back to school. They're not going to let you go back to school right away. But I think the key is that if something's working, what do? Do you change it or do you keep doing the same way?
If it's working, I think you should, like, continue it. But if it stops working, then try to come up with, like, a new way to do it.
Absolutely. And they used to say, you might have heard it 100 times, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Did you ever hear anybody say that to you? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I don't think I've actually heard that.
All right. Well, it's just...
I might have heard that before.
It's a phrase, but you really identified. You're saying if things are going well, don't change, don't mess it up. So... if we're heading in the right direction by staying apart, by washing our hands, by being socially distant, by doing the things that may not be comfortable for us, I'm sure you'd be much more comfortable going to school and being with your friends and being in the classroom and doing what comes natural to you. But do you know that by doing what you're doing, Rachel, you're saving lives? Do you know that by you making this sacrifice to do this change, that you are saving lives? And it's not just about one person anymore. It's about everybody, because we're all in this together. So I thank you for kind of saying that, you know, you don't need to change. We should stay the course. Have you ever heard any people say stay the course?
I feel like I might have.
Well, it's kind of just keep doing what you're doing because it's working. So whatever you're doing down there in Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania is working. Whatever the people in New York, who I'm sure, like myself, can't wait to get out and see my kids, can't wait to get and see my grandchildren, can't wait to get back to Dr. Goodman's office so I can help patients. What do you know about telehealth? Do you know anything about telehealth?
Telehealth? I'm not sure.
So, God forbid, when you're not feeling good, what do the mom and dad do? They take you to the doctor, right? So you see the doctor, you're in his office, you may have to wait in the waiting room because maybe there are other people who are sick who are waiting. But you know that today, because of coronavirus, a lot of those doctors aren't having their patients come into their office. That's not a good thing, right? If you want to see the doctor, don't you think you should be able to see the doctor?
I think I've actually heard that recently. And yes, you should still be able to see a doctor. Like in every place there is a hospital or like a doctor's office, some people should still be allowed to go in.
I agree.
And like, even though we're all talking about COVID-19 and that stuff, people still have cancer. There's still probably people who are breaking their bones, and there are other people who have medical problems like that don't involve COVID. Like, we need to focus on them a little bit. I mean,
you are so bright. Absolutely. Keep talking and shut me up, because you are absolutely right. Those people need to be seen by doctors. And you know who else needs to see those people? The pharmacist. Because if you're talking about someone with a chronic disease, they may have a whole bunch of medications they're taking. So don't you think they should see the pharmacist as well?
Yes, they should. If you're sick, then you should see a pharmacist, because they can get you medicine that you need to get better.
Absolutely. But what if you can't see them? Like if we're doing Zoom, if I wanted to see you, I could see you on Zoom. I see you right now.
Yeah.
I see that. Pay attention, Todd. Come on, pay attention. But if I could see you, I can. It's not the same as if I was in the room with you. But don't you think that we can connect through video, through Zoom, through, you know, a video connection? Don't you think that can happen?
Yes, and I have actually done that. I do karate, if you didn't know. I probably already told you before. And, you know, this whole COVID thing, you know, we can't, like, you know, go to karate. And we've actually been using Zoom to do karate. Like, so all the weeky days at 6:45, we'd start a Zoom meeting and then we'd do, like, karate. I always do it in my dining room because that's, like, the biggest room in my house. And I just do my karate there with all the other people. Sometimes my friends would be on it, sometimes not, but still, so we're connecting. And
we're connected. That's the key. And that person who's in your class, she said sometimes they're there and sometimes they're not. Yeah. But companionship and having a companion with you, whether it's a classmate or a friend, to do something, even if they can't be in the same room, in the same a karate class where maybe it was, you know, near the house and you all went for the class together. But a good part of those people are together by through Zoom. So I think it's really good. And we need to also make sure that patients who don't do karate, but patients who are taking medications, maybe they have diabetes or maybe they have high blood pressure. Well, they want to see the doctor and the pharmacist to make sure that they're healthy. You know that they can do that on Zoom too?
Well, now I do.
There you go. That's what the Pharmacy Podcast is all about, education, about sharing knowledge. So we've shared knowledge from one generation to another. Actually, I'm probably three generations older. I'm really old, but you're really young. That's why we should get, it should be like the marriage of something old, that's me, and something new, that's you. So we're getting them together. And together we talk about the things that are meaningful to both areas and to both ages. That's what coming together is all about. Because your perspective and your ideas are just as valuable as mine.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are. So my question to you would be, is with Dad being so instrumental and so have such a voice in pharmacy, if we could tell pharmacists that they could talk to their patients via telehealth, like you could talk to them on Zoom, do you think that's a good message for pharmacists? Because if a pharmacist doesn't see his or her patient, that patient isn't getting that expertise, that consultation, that warm and cuddly feeling about seeing their friendly neighborhood pharmacist. So would you think that we should be telling pharmacists, advocating that pharmacists should use telehealth?
Yes, because if they use telehealth, like you said, people are comfortable seeing their pharmacist and they know that they're going to, like, get them better. And it's always nice to have a pharmacist in your corner. And without pharmacists, where honestly would we be? I'm not sure. Would it be good? Would it be bad? Probably bad.
I think you could sit on the advisory board of any pharmacy company in the world with that kind of attitude. Where would we be without pharmacists? The words of Rachel Urey are so powerful. That resonates. I don't know whether we're going to have 78,000 listeners or more for the Pharmacy Podcast listening to what Rachel Urey just said. But that could be kind of a tagline for some positive campaign. Where would we be without pharmacists? I love that, Rachel. That's spectacular. You should be in marketing. Tell Dad you should be the marketing director of the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Thank you very much, Ken.
And you should triple your allowance. Do you get allowance? I used to get 35 cents, I think, when I was your age. Do you get an allowance from Dad?
Well, back at my house, I scoop my cat's litter box, and I get $5 a week, $20 a month, and $240 a year if you put that all together.
That's amazing. And I got to tell you, please lower your voice, because my wife, we have cats and we have three litter boxes because we used to have two cats. Unfortunately, one of our little kitties passed away, but we have one cat and we used to have two. And then she was told that you need an extra litter box. Like if you have three cats, you should have four litter boxes. Or if you have two cats, you should have three or one.
I've heard.
Yeah. So again, so she's the one who cleans out all the litter boxes. And if I had to pay her $20 a month, I don't think I could afford her. So don't, if you ever speak to my wife, Ronnie, please don't tell her you're getting paid to clean out litter boxes, because that could really put me into a financial, a really big hole, because I would owe her way too much money, because she's been doing it for years and years and years. And she would ask for the backpack. I know it. She would. Anyway, so you have a dog. What kind of pets do you have?
I have a cat. My sister has a son, Conyer, which is basically like a little parrot, like a mini parrot. And I also have a guinea pig. His name is Mr. Snuggles.
Mr. Snuggles. What's happening with the pets? Is COVID-19 affecting pets? I'm not talking about them getting sick, but is there an effect on a pet because of COVID-19? What do you think?
Okay, I'll talk about each of my pets at one time. So my cat, her name is Fleen. She's like, okay, so her responding to everyone being home, including me and Ashley, she's like meowing all the time. She likes to get on like mom and stuff. And she's just the crazy old lady she is right now. And, yeah. So Beep. So Beep is like flying all around the house, and like he's being crazy, and I think he's actually beginning to trust me more. He almost landed on me 2 times in the past month. And my guinea pig, Mr. Snuggles, he's the same, except I check on him more. Like and sometimes whenever I like to scratch him on the head a bit. Sometimes he's been running away, and I'd ask him, like, are you afraid of the coronavirus, pig? Like, I'd ask him if he's afraid of the coronavirus.
Well, we're all afraid of the coronavirus. That's a good question to ask Mr. Snuggles.
Okay. And then my dad also has pets, and I don't know much about how they're affected, but So, I'll just say what
I can speak towards you about your dad's pets, because I know for a fact that they are listening. I think he has a dog, right? Does he have a dog or two dogs?
How many dogs do you have?
3 dogs. I heard, and this is just a rumor, that they're listening to more podcasts because they have more time on their hands. That's just a rumor, and I think that's what's driving up the numbers on the Pharmacy Podcast Network, that more people are listening to podcasts, which I think is a good thing. I think that someone like you should be a podcaster all the time. I think the people love to listen to your voice. And the fact that you have time now, you know, I think it's something that really connects people. And I think you do a great job. But back to the pets. My pets, and you brought it up, and you're very, very bright. You said that the pets are a little bit off. They're not used to seeing their masters around all the time. They're not used to. They had a life, a normal life. They get fed, they sleep all day, they eat, they rest again, they go to the litter box. All of a sudden, we're in their way. We're like messing up their routine. And I see that with Mo, who's Mo is the cat here now. Number one, Mo is gaining a little weight, just like I am, because you're home all the time. You eat. It's so difficult not to eat in my refrigerator. Last night, Rachel said to me, as I was coming in the air, it spoke to me. It says, what the hell do you want again? Like, I'm just bothering him by opening up his door all the time. But our cat is getting fed more often, and he's putting on a little weight. So that's not good if he's got chronic diseases to gain weight. It's not good for me either. So we got to find something else to do besides eat. What about what we can do? What can we do if there was one thing that we could do to help more people with COVID? What do you think it would be? What could it be?
Okay, so honestly, I think so for like the people who have a job that isn't quote unquote mandatory or not like running right now, I feel like they should just stay home, wash their hands, don't go out too much, because a small impact can make a big difference. But for everyone who does have mandatory jobs, like, I'll save doctors for last. Like, for the people who sit, like, who are, like, who own a grocery store or something, they need to, like, get to work. They need to make sure they're working and they cannot be slacking off. That's a 100% need to be sure thing. And for the doctors, we need all the doctors to come together. If you're a retired doctor, then you can volunteer if you remember everything else. If you're still studying to be a doctor and you think you got what it takes, try, see if they'll let you in. And doctors need to work as hard as they can to stop this virus.
Well, they are. And again, we have to thank them, the hospital workers, the nurses, the doctors, the pharmacists, and then those grocery workers and those delivery people who are bringing foods from the grocery stores to you. I think this is a time for all of us to thank everyone for their service and thank them. You know, we used to, when you would see a military person in a uniform, you would say, out of respect, thank you for your service, because they're putting their life, at risk to save our lives. And they're putting, their families' lives, behind the fact that they're either fighting for our nation or protecting our nation. I think there are so many military-like individuals who are going out every morning and doing a job and going to the front lines. And I thank them. I don't do a lot in social media. Your dad does a ton. But when I can post something and maybe 11 friends on Facebook will see it, I say, thank that person. I'm saying thank you even more today than I ever did. And I used to say thank you a lot because I think that's a really important word, two words, that you should say all the time. There's times when you don't say thank you if it's not appreciated, but how could you not say thank you to someone who leaves the house in the morning, goes, kisses their wife or kids, and then goes out into an environment, whether it be in the hospital, God forbid, or a pharmacy or at a grocery store, and puts themselves at risk so that when they come home, maybe they could bring home a COVID virus that would hurt their family or damage. So I always say thank you. It's just my nature, but I think now even more. What do you think of that?
Yes. We should thank everybody who has been working in the Medicare, who's been on the front line, because they're going through a tough thing in their lives now where they need to work really, 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 really hard. And they know they need to stop this. And then when they come home to their families, they know that there might be like a 5, maybe even bigger than that percent chance that they got COVID.
To me, it's about education, and I don't care whether I'm 65 years old or I'm in school. What grade are you in? What grade are you in now?
I'm in fourth grade.
So in fourth grade, at every grade, we're learning something. Today, I learned something every day. I got off the phone just before I got on with you and Dad, and I was talking to someone who was educating me about how to apply for some of these assistance programs that the government is giving to companies to help them get back on their feet and pay their employees. And I'm learning because, if you think you know everything, you really know nothing. So for me, the most important thing that we can do to help people with COVID is to raise awareness to the facts, the education of what they should do if they get the disease, but also what they should do if they don't. Looking for signs. Do you know what the signs are for COVID? Like if you had symptoms, you know what they are that you should look for?
So like loss of breathing, maybe flu-like symptoms. And I've heard that some people have even lost their sense of smell, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So you're hitting on good points. Loss of breathing. This virus is very, very attacking the lungs, your breathing. The virus just kind of eats the lungs away. So if you have shortness of breath, that's a really important sign that to do. And of course, there's a cough that goes along with it. And so many people have mentioned what you did about the loss of smell and, just the overall weakness and things. But it doesn't really, there's so many information that just you don't know. So what we're going to try and do, do you have a phone? Do you have an iPhone?
No, I do not. I will get a phone in fifth grade, but it's
gonna... Oh, I'm sorry. Me bad, Todd. My bad. I'm sorry. So Todd, Dad has a phone, right? He's on it all the time. Okay. So if you if you ask him, don't tell him, because he doesn't like to be told. If you ask him to text RXVIP or text your name, to 67634. Can you remember those numbers? 67634. I want you. Okay, so write it down, 67634. And I want you to ask your dad to text, well, I do RXVIP because I'm RXVIP. Text the word RXVIP to 67634. So let's say you're a listener of the Pharmacy Podcast Nation. Let's say you're a member of Rachel's school. Let's say you're someone in their karate class. The more people who know about what's going on with COVID-19, the more people who will be educated and the more good things that'll come. So this company is giving us the opportunity as RXVIP to help more people. And I like that. I like that attitude. I like that philosophy. So we are going to kind of do next week some just very, very high level promoting all over the place. Any place I can talk, any place I can walk, any place I can think to. We're going to say, just text six, you know, text to RXVIP to 67634. Right. That's the number. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell Mr. Snuggles, because I don't want Mr. Snuggles to think that he's left out, okay?
Okay. I'd like to thank all of the pharmacists, doctors, and nurses for what they're doing during this pandemic, because we need them here. We need them on the front lines. We need them working as hard as they can. And they're helping us so we can get back to our everyday lives.
That's a great message, Rachel. Thank you for sharing that with our listeners. That's a great message.
You're welcome.
I want to do this again with you whenever you want to do it with me. I'll make myself available to Rachel Urie anytime that you want to be the voice of the future of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, because I know Pharmacy Podcast Nation loves Rachel Urie, and they listen to you, and they love what you're talking about, and they love your spirit and your attention to detail, and I will do this with you anytime you like, because you know what? I'm kind of stuck at home. You're kind of stuck at home. We might as well do this, right?
Right.
Right.
Thank you for joining us today, Ken.
It's always my pleasure, and I want to just thank you and the listeners, because we're part of a family together, and we're all in this together, and family really comes first. So this is a good time to really reflect and count your blessings, which I do every day. During tough times, if you think about the good things you have in life, Rachel, then all of a sudden you get put a little smile on your face, because we all do have a lot to look forward to as we come out of this COVID-19 crisis. So I want to thank you for doing what you do and being who you are. And I'd love to do this anytime you want. So I'm done talking. Goodbye.
I'm with you.